Today, and they had a couple of specials, and you can tell sometimes people don't know whether or not to applaud. Do you clap at the end of that, or do you not clap at the end of that? And the reason we typically don't applaud in church is because it's not the musician that is to be praised. It's God that we praise. Amen? Amen. And so we're not singing so that men would give us applause. We're singing to applaud God. So if you want to applaud, applaud Him. You know, in and of ourselves, we are absolutely incapable of doing anything to please God. Let me say that a different way. We are weak. We are without strength. We are without ability. We may have some gifts that God's given us. You have, for example, intellect. You have the ability to think. And prayerfully, God's allowed you to go to school somewhere along the way, and you've learned the definitions of words, and you may have learned some facts, some things about the Bible and so on. And those are gifts that God's given us. But Jesus said this. He said, without me, you can do nothing. I want you to know this morning, without him, I can do nothing. We heard a man preach yesterday and Friday night, and he has a gift for oration. Without God, he can do nothing. We have ministries here in our church. We have a bus ministry. We have a school. We have a Sunday school program. We have our missions program. Without God, we can do nothing. Amen. And in your life, you might be frustrated. You say, no, I try to do things for God, and I just don't seem to be able to succeed. Well, if you let God have a chance to do things through you, instead of trying to be the one to do things for Him. Amen? Now, we're going to look at a passage in Matthew chapter 11 this morning, and it is regarding John the Baptist. But there's a statement at the end of this passage. It's in verse 19 of Matthew, and if I start saying Mark, don't pay attention to me, but if I say Matthew, listen carefully. It's okay, I'll get those mixed up perhaps. Matthew chapter 11. In verse 19, the very last sentence in that verse, seven words, the Lord Jesus Christ says, but wisdom is justified of her children. Now, that's kind of a complex statement, especially for a younger person that's not familiar with all the nuances of the English language. And it's a memorable statement. Wisdom is justified of her children. You may have heard that from your pastor as well somewhere along the way. And the statement simply means that when you are wise, the thing that you produce, the thing that comes from you, will demonstrate that you are wise. Wisdom is justified of her children. When you see the word justified in the Bible, that's a great word. I love that word, justified. For example, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. That's in Romans. Say, Pastor, what does that mean? If you're trying to be good enough to get to heaven, you can't do it. The best thing that you, and the Bible says Christ Jesus died to save sinners. Somebody says, well, I'm not a sinner. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, because that means Christ didn't die for you. I'm a sinner. Brother Mendez is a sinner. Brother Gonzalez is a sinner. I won't go all the way around the room. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And now the Bible says, we who have received Him, and I'm going to use a huge word that no one ever uses, we have been imputed righteousness. In other words, we get credit for something we didn't do. Just like when Jesus was crucified, he was punished for something he didn't do. He knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin, and yet he became sin for us. He took our sins upon him. Christians in this world today are accused of a lot of things. We're accused of being self-righteous. We're accused of being hypocrites. We're accused of of being divisive, and we're accused of, and don't get me wrong, in the name of Christianity, some bad things have been done. In the Middle Ages, literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people died a martyr's death at the hands of the Catholic Church in the name of religion. In the name of religion today, the Islamic movement has killed who knows how many people in the name of their religion. Jesus said this. Jesus said, if my kingdom was of this world, I would fight. We would fight. But aren't you glad his kingdom is not in this world, it's in the next? Amen? Wisdom is justified of her children. The word justified means to be proved to be right, or to be called right, or to be considered right. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And the Bible goes on to say that we are saved by faith in Christ, and then we are justified. It's just as if we had never sinned by Christ and his works, not by our goodness. Wisdom is justified of her children. In other words, when you look at the product, you can see whether or not wisdom was the cause. When you look at people in the world today and they say, you know, we'd like to choose our gender. The Bible says God created them male and female. Now, I got to remind you of something. As born-again Christians, are we supposed to hate those people? No. As born-again Christians, are we supposed to denounce those people? But we should pray for them, amen? And here's an interesting thought. Last week, they had a statistic, and they found that there is an unusually high rate of suicide among people that have identified as being transgender. And I understand that, because without Christ, there's no satisfaction. You see somebody, and they've tattooed themselves, or they've got piercings all over their face and their body, or they've done some crazy things in their life. You know what? Why they did that? They're trying to be happy. You know why people drink? They try to be happy. They try to take drugs. They try to be happy. Why do they choose immorality? They want to be satisfied. They're looking for something to satisfy them. The Lord Jesus Christ can satisfy you. The rest of those things are just going to cause damage. Wisdom is justified of her children. Back in October of 1842, an evangelist named Charles Finney, he's an amazing fellow. You should read about him sometime. I don't agree with everything he did, but he sure was a good preacher. He preached a message in October of 1842 entitled, Wisdom is Justified of Her Children. And he made this statement. He said, the truly wise may be known by the manner in which they are affected by the truth. Let me say that slowly. You need to digest that. The truly wise, he said, are known by the manner in which they are affected by the truth. You could rephrase it a little bit, and by saying this, a truly wise person does the right thing with the truth. Jesus said this. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. A truly wise person has done the right thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Received him. Amen? Someone says, I don't want to receive him, because if I receive him, then he may ask me to do something I don't want to do, or he may ask me not to do something that I want to do, or he may ask me to admit that I was wrong in some situation, or he may ask me to like we talked about in Sunday school, to suffer for him. But the truly wise person that receives the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, is justified. They're forgiven for their sins. And they inherit eternal life. About a week ago, a representative from Baltimore named Elijah Cummings died. And he stepped into eternity. I have never had a chance to meet the man. I've listened to him very little. I know he identified with a liberal policy that I don't agree with. But that's not the issue. Every time a person like that, that was well-known and outspoken, steps into eternity, whether it would be a political figure or a religious figure like the Pope, or or the president of the Mormon church or whatever, every time an actor, for example, every time a famous person steps into eternity, I cannot help but think this. Now they know the truth. Amen. Whatever stand they took that was against God, now they regret that. Whatever stand they took that was for God, now they're glad they did that. It brings attention to me. It focuses on my life. I ask myself the question, when I stand before God and I step into eternity and I stand before Him, what am I going to be glad of, and what am I going to wish I had done differently? Wisdom is justified of her children. If you hear the truth and if you recognize it as the truth and if you change because of the truth, there will be a product in your life, and it will be a wonderful product. Now, you may experience some trials in this life. We talked about that in Sunday school, like Paul the Apostle, who suffered for the cause of Christ, or like Job, who suffered because he was right with God. But folks, when you step into eternity, wisdom will be justified of her children. Let's stand. I want to read this passage with you and then just show you a couple of simple things here. And ask the Lord to give us not just power, but the Holy Spirit's working in our lives this morning as we open the Word of God. I'm going to begin reading out loud as you follow along silently in Matthew chapter 11. I'll begin in verse 7. The Bible says, "As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, 'What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee.'" He's quoting Malachi 3:1, by the way. "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, this morning I pray for your power. I pray for you to allow us to understand the Word of God, and then I pray for you to cause us to be affected by it. In this passage, it clearly explains that not being affected by the truth is a sign of foolishness, that the wise man will hear the truth and respond to it. Lord, it may seem unbelievable to some people, but it's so true that today in this room, a person that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, they may know who He is, they may even know what the Bible says He did, but they have never trusted Him as their Savior. Lord, it is true that a person like that today could change their destination. They could be bound for hell this morning, and they could leave this room on their way to heaven. Lord, what a blessing that would be. Lord, for those of us that have made that decision, and we've trusted Christ, and we're on our way to heaven, we too could make a decision. We could allow the truth to affect us. And in wisdom, we could choose to live in a different manner, to do some things differently, amen, to seek eternal rewards and not secular and worldly blessings. Lord, I ask you today to again, do what I can't do. I have no ability. I have no strength. I have nothing to offer, but the Word of God is great and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Help it to go forth with power. Now we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a whole lot here, and we really all don't need to take a look at each and individual verse and understand each word. That's not important. The general thought is very clear. It's summed up in verse 19 when he says, wisdom is justified of her children. But what's happened is he has come before these people and he's mentioned to them John the Baptist's ministry and his ministry, and he's shown them some things. He gives the highest possible endorsement to John in verse 11. He says, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. I'd have loved to have seen him and heard him preach. I don't know what heaven is going to be like, but I'd like to think that we're going to have some opportunities to know more about some of these men. You're going to meet John the Baptist, and he's not going to be wearing camel's hair and eating grasshoppers anymore. He's going to be feasting at the Lord's table and wearing a robe of white just like we will, and he's going to be righteous. But what would it have been like to leave Jerusalem? And if you've ever been to the Holy Land, when you leave Jerusalem and you travel towards the wilderness, you travel uphill for a little while and you come to that place where the Samaritan was talked about that the Lord Jesus Christ preached about. And then you go down towards Jericho and it's just barren. I mean, it's just dry and there's no plants and there's no water and it's a rough road. And you get down there. Why would someone go all that way? And that's what he says at the beginning. He says, what did you go out there to see? Why would someone take that trip from Jerusalem across that barren wilderness out to a place where this man that wears camel's hair and eats grasshoppers, why would you go see a fellow like that? And he starts out there in verse 7. He says, did you go see a reed shaken in the wind? The best thing I can do with that is to say perhaps there were some people who just enjoyed the scenery. Let's just go out there and see what the countryside looks like. And no, that's not why they went. He said, did you go in verse 8 to find somebody wearing soft clothing? No, that wasn't what they went to see. John was just the opposite. And then he asks the really telling question. He says in verse 9, but what went ye out for to see? A prophet? He says, yeah, and more than a prophet. And he begins to describe the ministry of John the Baptist. Why did you come to church today? Somebody says, oh, I came to church today to see my friends. Some of the kids on the bus said, hey, because we get treats, amen? And nothing wrong with bribing bus children. We do that all the time. Somebody says, well, I just felt like it was the right thing to do. I hope you came to church because of the Word of God, amen? Because of the Savior that died for our sins. It's good to come and have Christian fellowship and be with friends and be an encouragement to other people. And it's good to come and serve God. Perhaps you have a ministry in the Sunday school or some other area. And it's good to come and to give, and giving is part of worship. It's good to come and pray. But I hope we came for the right reason. He asked these people, why did you go see John the Baptist? You just wanted to see what's going on? A lot of people are curious today, and they're looking for things. And then when they don't find what they're looking for, they leave. And that's what happened here. He says, wisdom is justified of her children. And we back up a little bit and look at the verses just preceding that, beginning in verse 16. And he says something interesting there. He says, whereunto shall I liken this generation? He says, it is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. And what he's saying there is, you can kind of see this, picture this in your mind. And one little child, he wants to play and the other children just sit there and look at him. And he tries one game, and they just sit there and look at him. And he tries something else, and they sit there and look at him. We can't get you to be happy. We can't get you to be sad. Nothing really affects you. And he says, that's the way this generation is. It was a foolish generation, by the way. They crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. They beheaded John. Wisdom is justified of her children. Now, every one of us here would like to say that we are wise. I think we understand that being a fool is a derogatory term. No one wants to be called foolish, do you? You don't want to act foolishly. You don't want to pay the price of living a foolish life. We would like to claim that we are wise. So what does it really mean to be wise? What is it to be a wise person that has a result which justifies or proves that you are wise? That you did receive the truth. These people didn't have that. So they're the negative example. They're the example of what not to do. And let me just show you real quick. It won't take long at all. Two or three things here to see if you're wise or not. The first one I've just shown you part of. He says, these children piped and they didn't want to dance and they mourned and they wouldn't lament. In other words, nothing affected them. Has the truth made any difference in your life? A wise person hears the truth and responds to it. I used to work when I was in the ministry in Salt Lake City. There were occasions to where the church couldn't pay me a whole lot of money, and that was fine at that time. I had some things to fall back on, and one of them was computer programming. And I got a call from iOmega. You probably forgot who they are by now, unless you were been around for a long time. But iOmega invented, I shouldn't say they produced, a device that would back up a bunch of computer data on tape. And they were the only ones that had that at the time. It was very, very revolutionary. And I was called during the Y2K crisis. Remember that thing 19 years ago when they all thought the world was going to end, right? And people kept telling me all these bad things that were going to happen. And I had spent the last year fixing those things. I knew it wasn't going to be all that bad. I had a 84 Chevy truck. And I kept telling people, that truck has no idea what day it is. It doesn't care when Y2K comes and goes. We're not going to have a problem. But anyway, long story short, I went to iOmega to fix some of their software so it would make it through the turn of the century. And some people told me, you ought to buy iOmega stock. You really ought to buy iOmega stock. Now, yeah, right, I've heard that before. I really should have bought iOmega stock. I heard one lady told a story like this. She said, I wanted to buy my husband a pickup truck for his birthday. But she said, all I had was $800, and that's not much of a pickup truck. In fact, that's about what I paid for my 84 Chevy anyway. And she said, so I bought him $800 worth of iOmega stock. And she said, sure enough, it went up so much, he got to buy himself a brand new pickup truck. Somebody told me what needed to be done, gave me a wise piece of advice. I didn't listen to it. What do you do with the Word of God? Amen? Someone says, Pastor, I just don't see any advantage, any benefit in going to church. Elijah Cummings does. Now, when you step into eternity, folks, you're going to see things the way they are. Don't we give so much counsel from the Word of God? Good, godly, wise counsel. And people say, no. I would tell the young men here today, and there's quite a few of them, listen to me. Joey, this is for you, buddy. Listening? Marry the woman God wants you to marry. Amen? Amen? You say, Pastor, I'm not sure. Don't get married until you are. Amen? I'd tell Isaiah here, Isaiah, don't ever drink alcohol or take drugs. Amen. That's an easy one, right? Don't ever smoke cigarettes. Say, but Pastor, lots of people do. Yeah, you met any meth addicts lately? Let me take you and spend some time with a meth addict and you'll see that's a foolish thing to do. I would tell everyone here, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as the complete and entire payment for your sins. Amen. Turn to Him for salvation. Amen. Say, Pastor, I might be embarrassed. You might wake up in hell if you don't. Sooner or later, you will. I'm just scratching the surface. There's so much in this book. I love we didn't mention this decoration and the light's not on. You guys, oh, it is too. Okay. What does this represent? The windows of heaven. Amen? You know what the Bible says? This is Malachi. Malachi says, and I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to sell you anything here, all right? You got to choose whether or not to be wise. I can just give you the truth. But Malachi says that if you'll tithe, God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. I've lived that. That's just what the Bible says. We're trusting God to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so we can send missionaries to some more of these people. Jim Post, going to Israel, he was here a little less than a year ago, and I think he's a fine young man, and I think he's going to be used by God. He needs some people to support him. We've got missionaries in Japan and Brazil and other places, Mexico and the United States, and I can't name all these flags. I wish I could. We're going to have a missionary here in a couple of weeks who's going to China. We have another missionary who's going to Peru. We'd like to send those missionaries. Amen? About what the Bible says? Now, this is just truth. You have to decide what to do with it. The Bible says, if you sow sparingly, you will reap also sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. So when you step into eternity, like other people have and like we all will, the question will be, what kind of sowing did you do? You know, some of us have been faithfully giving to missions for many, many years. And as we look at these flags, what we don't realize is these flags in many cases represent souls that we get credit for because we sent the missionary that reached them. Amen. That's the product of wisdom. Did truth change you? That's the question. If you didn't get changed by the truth, if you heard the truth and you ignored it, that's foolishness. I got to go fast. Let's look at another thing here. Did you recognize the truth? Now, this is interesting. We're going to get all three of these in, but it may be fast, okay? In verse 7 through 10, he talks about these people going out into the wilderness and to see the prophet. And then he goes on and talks about who the prophet really was in verse 11 and verse 12 and so on. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of people heard the preaching of John the Baptist and disregarded it because they didn't recognize it as the truth. Now, here's a question for you. How do you know what's true? How do you know what's true? I know your answer, brother, the Word of God. Amen? Amen? I want you to know something. If you have a preserved Bible, you have the truth. Amen. If you have a Bible people have been tinkering with, you have bits and pieces of the truth mixed in with bits of pieces of not truth. I like being able to open my Bible to any verse and read it and think to myself, praise God, that's what God said. Amen. Not, I wonder if some man changed that. I don't worry about that because the Bible says in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as the silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Amen. Just remember Proverbs 30 and verse 5, every word of God is pure. If it's the word of God, it's pure. And God promised to keep it preserved. This is how I know what's the truth. Can you recognize the truth? It is so sad today. Most of the churches that you walk into have got a book that they call a Bible that has been changed by men that are not even saved. I use the word, and I don't use it cautiously. I use it well advisedly. They have Bibles written by apostates. Say, Pastor, I can't believe that. Come to my office. I'll show you some evidence. Yeah. Or go to my website. There's plenty of evidence out there. People that didn't even believe Jesus was God. G. Vance Smith, if you want to research one of them, denied the deity of Christ. He said, I'm so glad that when we revised the Bible, we took out any reference to somebody worshiping Jesus because he shouldn't be worshiped. He's not God. That's the kind of people that wrote the Bibles that a lot of churches today are calling the Word of God. Praise the Lord, we have a Bible. Amen? Amen. Let me show you one more thing and we'll be done. Do you recognize the truth? Do you repent when you hear the truth? And then do you regard the messenger or the truth? Now, let me show you what they do here and we'll be done. He says there in verse I got to find my place here. Verse 18. He says, John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. John was on the one extreme, perhaps, Jesus on the other, and I didn't like either one. I was visiting with a pastor in Texas one time. We went to visit a lady and her husband in her home one night, and she had visited our church, and she said to the pastor, she said, Pastor, we really like your church except for one thing. We thought your music's a little bit too bouncy. We think your music should be a little bit calmer. Okay. Went to the next house. People said, you know, Pastor, we really like your church except for one thing. Your music's way too bouncy. So one of them says it's too bouncy. Another one says, your music needs to be more bouncy. Your music wasn't exciting enough to us. You know, they were kind of mixed up, you know, and if I told that wrong, you straighten it out in your mind. But one says we don't like the music because it's too calm, and one says it's too loud. And you know what I liked? The man preached the Word of God. Amen. I got to tell you something. This church is not perfect, but this Bible is, amen. And our Savior is. And I hope our motive is that we're here because of Him. Amen? And that's why we're here. These people couldn't be satisfied. They rejected the message by rejecting the messenger. Now you can reject me, and I don't always do say it the way it ought to be said, but don't reject the truth. Because once again, and I'm done, the way you can tell whether you are a child of wisdom or not is this. Do you recognize the truth when you hear it? Do you repent? Does the truth change you when you hear it? And do you regard the truth and in spite of the messenger that brings it? When you hear the truth and you don't like it, someone can say, well, it's the messenger's fault. No, the truth is the truth. They say, we don't like John the Baptist. He dresses too roughly. Well, we don't like Jesus. He doesn't dress roughly enough. Folks, just get the truth. Amen? I'm going to finish with this thought and we're done. Two kinds of people here today. People that have received Christ as Savior and people that need to. If you never have received Christ, if you are concerned, where am I going to spend eternity? I wonder if I'm going to go to hell. Or maybe you just flat out know, I've never received Christ as my Savior. The Holy Spirit's convicting me. I need to do something about that. Please get saved today. If you're here and you're saved, two kinds of people. The kind of people that respond to the truth and the kind of people that kind of push it aside for their own preferences. Folks, wisdom is justified of her children. When you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, there will be no question as to whether you responded to the truth or not. I want to stand before the Lord, and I know there will be many things that will be judged and found at fault, but one thing I hope He'll be able to say is I was wise when it came to the Word of God. And the way I treated it. Let's all stand and pray, please.